So the debate rages on, as seen this past Tuesday evening. Those who tuned in heard two diametrically opposed beliefs regarding the origins of the world, and a variety of things were stated in connection with the debate. As the evening progressed, there was reason to rejoice whenever the Holy Word of God was quoted, and it was especially good to hear the message proclaimed that God sent His Son into the world to pay for our sins. One of the things that came to my mind in connection with the debate was Scripture's bottom line on that subject, where we're told in the book of Hebrews, "By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible." God's creation of the universe in six real days is an article of faith. So now what about faith? Particularly saving faith in Christ Jesus. What is the origin of saving faith? Well, it turns out that that also is a creation of God and not the process of some evolutionary sequence of events. We're going to shift gears this morning from the question, what is the origin of the world, to what is the origin of Christian faith? Noticing along the way that there are some striking similarities between the two. Paul provides the answer in his second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 4, where he says, "The God of this world," that's God spelled with a small g, "the God of this world has blinded the minds of those who do not believe, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Paul speaks to us here about the creation of faith, of the creation of our own spiritual world, so to speak, and the big point that he makes is that a saving faith in Christ is also a creation. Notice the illustration which he uses here. As he considered the faith in his own heart, the power of God came to his mind, that power that created light out of darkness at the beginning of time. What was there to work with at the very beginning? Nothing. The world needed light, but there was none. In Genesis 1, we're told there was darkness upon the face of the deep. There was not the slightest spark of light. There was no glow at the dawning of time. There was darkness upon the face of the deep. No light whatsoever with which to work. It took a creation. It took the God who has the power to bring something into existence from nothing in existence in order to bring this about. And that's how it took place with our own individual spiritual worlds. We were all born in spiritual night. We weren't born at some spiritual dusk with the potential of rising to some spiritual heights. We were not born with some spark of divinity that could be fanned into flaming faith. Isaiah describes people in their natural spiritual condition as those who walked in darkness and in the shadow of death. Sin completely eclipsed the light which God had placed in Adam at the time of the creation. The devil successfully pulled down the curtains on the soul of man when sin entered the world. The God of this world, that's the devil, blinded the minds of those who do not believe. As was the case with the physical world, which had no light when it began, so also was the situation with our own spiritual worlds. It took a creation to bring us to faith. It took the God, again, who is only capable of bringing into existence something where there was nothing before. The presence of saving faith in an individual is no more the result of some evolutionary process than is the presence of the physical world. although there are those who suggest that it is. There are various churches today which teach what is known as decision theology, the notion that a person somehow develops an inclination toward Christ and works at coming toward Him and then finally actually makes a decision for Him. It's a type of an evolutionary process. But darkness cannot produce light. Blindness cannot lead to sight. We were born in darkness and were blind. We could not make a decision for Christ or come to Him. Rather, our text says, God has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And how does He cause the light to shine in the human heart? Back to Genesis. Genesis 1, God said, let there be light. And there was light. God produces light through His simple, powerful word. Physical light, spiritual light. God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts. God's word, God's gospel, is what creates faith. The simple message of Christ crucified is what shatters darkness and replaces it with the light of life, giving us, hopefully, an extra measure of confidence as we find ourselves in opportunities to witness. If we needed to persuade people to believe in Christ, if it were a matter of some intellectual process, and it required something with someone with a higher intellect than someone else to bring them to an understanding of Jesus, that would really make mission work a very daunting task. But when we remember that God has placed into our mouths the very words that create faith, that can create a greater level of confidence. Even in those situations that we might consider very unlikely for mission work, how likely was it that a thief, a condemned thief, who was hanging on a cross in sheer agony, would be brought to faith at the hearing of a simple word of forgiveness? And yet, today you will be with me in paradise. How likely that a corrupt tax collector would be brought to saving faith in Jesus as the result of one dinner conversation? And yet, Zacchaeus, today salvation has come to this house. How likely that a treasurer for the Queen of Ethiopia traveling home in a chariot in the middle of a desert would be reading a section of Isaiah and would have a stranger come up and explain what it was all about, would be brought to faith in Christ. Yet when Philip was taken away by the Spirit, we're told the eunuch went on his way rejoicing. When we tell people about Christ, we're putting into their ears the very power, the very dynamite, which the Holy Spirit uses to create faith, as instantly and as powerfully as He once created light at the beginning of time. So really, all teachings of evolution, whether applied to the beginning of the world or to the beginning of saving faith, rob God of the glory due His name and rob us of the confidence that we should have in His powerful word. May we rejoice, therefore, in the truth of Christ's creation. In His creation of the world, yes, but to an even greater extent in His creation of saving faith. You, speaking to Christians, says Paul, are a new creation. And how did that come about? By that earth darkness shattering message, Jesus has lived and died for you. Talk about power. Talk about light. Talk about Christ. A hymn which speaks of this light is found in number 775, Thy Strong Word, stanzas 1, 2, and 6. 775, 1, 2, and 6.